Okay. I want to spend time looking at an essay written by a Rabbi Yosef Kolutsky. He has a series he calls Beyond Pshat, and he has a significant essay on this parsha, trying to comprehend what happened with the spies. And he topped the first item that he addresses, he says, is, are we HaKadosh Baruch Hu's agents, or do we act out of our own self-interest? The Torah said to Hashem, Shalach lecha, send for yourself men, and they should look out, spy out Eretz Canaan that I give to the Bnei Yisrael. The men being sent, we've said already, were men of stature, one from each shevet. Rashi explains that when Moshe appointed these individuals, they were all righteous. Somehow, in the process of spying out the land, they became corrupted. Two of the spies stayed with Hashem's mission, being Yehoshua, who Moshe added a yud to his name. He called Hoshea ben Nun Yehoshua, the yud being HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you, and Koaz ben Yefuna, who went to Moresh HaMachpelah and davened at the Kfarim of Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, saying, please, with your schus, please keep me from being doing anything wrong with this group. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh asks, if all of these people started off truly righteous, what caused them to have a problem and turn? He says corrupt. Moreover, if the Ribbono shel Olam knew this, why did he let them go? The Or HaChaim says there's a fundamental matter in Judaism and the Torah. When I represent you as an agent, I am going to be affected by the mindset and thoughts of you, the sender. The agent becomes subservient, and if it's a true agent, right, he acts based on the capacity of the agency he was given. Or Chaim says, the motive and intent of Klal Yisroel was to be suspicious. They distrusted the Ribbono shel Olam about Eretz Yisroel. And this impacted the representatives, the spies. They were now representing what he calls diminished people. Yes, the spies did have free choice until the very end, but they now had an additional problem, as if they had an additional Yetzer Hara added because of the influence of those who were sending them. And since the intent of the senders, right, we call the principal an agent, since the principals were suspect, the agent is affected. The Sfas asks, if the Meraglim were doomed to fail, again, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu authorize and approve them going? The Sfas says, Hashem approved their mission because they had a choice. They could have chosen to be the agents of the Ribbono shel Olam. Had they made that choice, the spiritual call it boost they would have received would have ended up with the proper result. It would protect them, and they would see things clearly. In other words, they wouldn't just see the physicality. They would realize what HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do and will do. However, if their mission was solely to represent those who sent them, and therefore their own agenda would rise supreme over being servants, agents of Hashem, they were in trouble. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the spies to make this sending, the shlichus, a divine mitzvah, a complete mitzvah. If they went as spies for the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, even though they should have trusted and not needed spies, right? They would have remained pristine. If, on the other hand, they did what in fact they did, all of a sudden they lacked that special fiata dishmaya, divine assistance. The Rabbi Kolesky writes, and maybe it is from the Sfas Emes, in order for an individual to be an agent of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, it is necessary to negate oneself of personal preferences. Rather, you've got to do the will of Hashem. I want to eat ice cream right with my meat sandwich. That's what I want to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. He says, the spies didn't do this, and that led to their downfall. The Sfas Emes says there's a message here for every single member of Klal Yisroel forever. He says the real reason that we exist in this world is to be Avdei Hashem, to carry out the will of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Putting on tefillin, keeping Shabbos, Kashrus. We do these things because Hashem told us to. We don't do it, quote, for our own advancement. When we get to a stage of understanding, we realize this, and we do mitzvot because we want to do what Hashem wants of us. In Sefer Yehoshua, we read that Yehoshua sends two spies to spy out Yericho. He sent Pinchas, Kohen, and Kalev ben Yefune. Pinchas and Kalev, it says, presented themselves as kadorim, peddlers, who sell earthenware vessels. And the question is, why of all things did they choose this costume, right? Etc. The Sfas Emes says they realized the following. The value of a keli, a vessel, is normally defined by its functionality, what it does. Okay? Right? And secondarily, or maybe in some cases more so, by the components thereof. If I have a vessel of a metal and it breaks, dents, and let's say I can't use it, I can always re-smelter it and use it again. It has utility not only as the vessel, but as basically a commodity that has value. An earthenware vessel, once it breaks, it's made out of clay, and it loses its functionality. Right? And generally, most earthenware broken kalim have no use. We do learn in some cases that in the Mishnah that people use them, they could put a fire on it depending how big, etc. But for all most intents and purposes, it has no value. Pinchas and Kalev and Kolev identified themselves as Kadorim because they negated themselves to the Ratzon Hashem. They were going to fulfill exactly what Yehoshua wanted them to do. Their mission had no value in it of itself other than fulfilling the terms of the mission. They were able, it says, to go to the house of Rachav, right? Which, whatever it was, whether it was an inn, whether it was a bar, whether it was worse, it clearly wasn't the highest spiritual place in the land, and yet they could be unaffected. And not only that, they could affect Rachav, who was presumably at that time not yet Jewish and from, to become great enough to become Yehoshua's wife. They negated themselves to their mission. And Rabbi Kolotsky says, when people, could someone mute in the background, please? When?
And they don't know. And they're not willing to spend the money to have.
All we hear is someone's wife talking. The question every Yid has to ask is, what's my mission? Why am I here? What do I do today? If it's to do mitzvot, Torah mitzvot, then we have in fact negated ourselves to the extent that we will have siyata d'shvaya, divine assistance, and we will be successful. He says that's the understanding. Then he comes to part two of his essay, and he talks about understanding the adversity of our inclination to ruchnius, to spirituality. The Torah gives us the narrative that the people wanted to spy out the land, notwithstanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promises to what he was giving them. The question became, how could people even approach Moshe Rabbeinu to ask to spy out the land? They were smart enough. They were called the smartest generation. They knew if they asked Moshe at hand, he would say no. He said, he would say, have you guys, what happened to you? Don't you know that a Kodesh Baruch Hu split the sea and everything else? Why would you doubt Hashem now? And so it says, the Meraglim, and probably the people who they represented, didn't indicate to Moshe what their true concern was. And their true concern was somehow they had doubt about the ability to conquer the land or not. And so they came up with another pretext. They said, Moshe Rabbeinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that we are going to find homes in Eretz Yisrael filled with great wealth when we go into Eretz Canaan. we are concerned that the Kananim, the people who live there, know of this, and they're going to bury their wealth deep into the ground, not under the houses, but elsewhere. And when we don't find this, they'll say, see, God didn't tell it as it is, and that's a Chilul Hashem. Therefore, what we want to do is we want to spy out to see where are the precious items, where are they being hidden, etc., like a kamikaze, an intelligence type of reconnaissance to see where things are. And that way, we will do what we have to do to make sure God's name is not desecrated. It says, when Moshe heard this, it says, he immediately became blinded. He took them at their word, and he made the request to the Rabboni Shel Olam, can I send people? Right? And Rabboni Shel Olam said, Shlach lecha anashim. You for yourself can send people. If you, Moshe, feel the need to send them, I will let you do it. However, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, my perspective is that I have already given my word that the land is full of bracha. And the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving to Moshe was that if in fact they go forward and do the scouting, spying mission, they may be led astray. Moshe maybe began to understand this possibility, and he davened for Yehoshua bin Nun. Why didn't he daven for all of the Meraglim, all the spies? The Gemara in Baba Basra says, the face of Moshe is like the sun, and the face of Yehoshua is like the moon. Moshe's spiritual dimension was comparable to the sun, because as the sun generates its own energy and light, Moshe generated spirituality. Yehoshua, being his primary disciple, was comparable to the moon, right? As the moon reflects the light of the sun, Yehoshua was a reflection of Moshe's spirituality. No one else in Klal Yisroel, not even Aaron HaKohen, reached this level. Right? He was constantly learning with Moshe Rabbeinu, and he never, ever left Moshe's tent, presumably other than for things that needed to be done. But every moment he had and could, he learnt with his Rebbe. And Rashi, on the beginning of Pirkei Avos, where it says, Moshe kibel Torah Nisinei M'sarahu Yeshua. Moshe got Torah from the Rabboni Shel Olam, and he gave it on to Yehoshua, rather than Aaron HaKohen, or the 70 Zekanim, was because Yehoshua was constantly learning, was always with Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, he says, the Vilna Gaon lived in the 18th century. And he says, people considered him to be on the level of the Rambam, right? The great Rishon. Regarding his kedusha, his spirituality, he was depicted by all the Torah sages in his door like a malach, an angel. It says, his students once said to him, Rebbe, we wish we had your Yetzer Hara. I guess they assumed that he had negated his Yetzer Hara. And he said, you're wrong. You would never want my Yetzer Hara, because look at the Gemara in Sukkah, and it says, your Yetzer Hara is equal and opposite in strengths to the level you reach with your Yetzer Tov. In order for the individual to still have the Bechira, to still be able to make choices, it's got to be an equal battle. Therefore, the Vilna Gaon said, my Yetzer Hara is the exact mirror image of whatever I am in terms of Ruchnius. And like Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't take credit for what he had achieved, but he knew what he could do. It came from Hashem, he knew that. But therefore, his Yetzer Hara in a lesser human being would have totally devastated the person. Abaya tells a story in the Gemara that he heard a conversation between a man and women planning to commit adultery somewhere in marshes. Abaya followed them secretly, and all of a sudden, he saw the prospective adulterer, the gentleman, say, I can't do this. It's wrong. I can't do this. This is just not where, and he left. When Abaye took note of the tremendous self-control, he was astounded, right? And he said, had it been me, I could have never withheld. He said, this individual had the ability to raise himself. I could not have done that. He said, and he was devastated, it says. He came back and he talked with some of his colleagues, some of the other, I guess, Amaroyan, and they said, What are you surprised about? They said, of course you would have failed. You know why? Your Yetzer Hara is 100,000 times stronger than his. You're the Gadol Hador. What do you think? If the Yetzer Hara grabs you, now whether it will be automatic, but point is well made. It says, individuals have a choice. We can either rise spirituality and have siyata d'shmaya to move further and further towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, or if we begin, I guess, to give in beyond a point, we surrender to our Yetzer Hara, and in so doing, we unfortunately go to have a problem and do the wrong thing. And the indication is that this was the problem that the Meraglim faced. The next topic, we're not going to have time for it now, is called the value of trusting. And a topic thereafter is what he calls the limitation of the human mind. And he goes on further explaining this story of the Meraglim. And Be'ezras Hashem will pick this up tomorrow and go from there. Okay. Have a good day.